Father, we pray that your spirit will fall upon us, that we might see you and hear your voice and know your presence among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all. It's quite a question, isn't it, that appears in this reading from Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Many of us, I think, find ourselves asking this, the same question, usually as we try and get out the house to church on a cold and frosty autumn morning. Can these bones live? It's a question that lies at the heart of Pentecost. Because this feast does not simply remember an event from the distant past, nor is it just a celebration of the church's birthday, but Pentecost is a reminder of the journey that we can and we should take from being a bunch of bare bones to witnesses of the new life and a world transformed that comes through Christ. This is because Pentecost and this question is all about character. Who is this God that we follow, and what will our character be as God's people? As I hear this question being asked of Ezekiel, I wonder, why does God ask this question? Taken at face value, it just can't be a question about biology. Nor can it be a question about probability. I don't think God was asking the prophet to form a reference group or to hire consultants to inquire into the probability of these bones coming back to life. This question to Ezekiel, I think, comes out of a context of overwhelming destruction. Ezekiel, if you remember, was a priest that was among the captives taken to Babylon in the 6th century BC. Babylon destroyed Israel physically when they captured the land and they destroyed Solomon's temple. Israel was destroyed psychologically because everyone and everything necessary to keeping the nation's memory and identity alive was taken away. The nation was destroyed spiritually. Freed from slavery, Israel had become just like Pharaoh. Rather than promoting justice and loving compassion and walking humbly with God, the nation had arrogantly started telling God what to do, while turning a blind eye to all the violence and injustice that flourished among them. Can these bones live is a question of character, of God's character. It focuses our attention on who God is. Is God the kind of person who celebrates and relishes in the death of people? Is God the kind of person who is indifferent to suffering and destruction? The kind of person who simply shrugs his shoulders at those who die and say, well, they just knew the consequences. Sadly, I think many Christians give this impression of God when they make it seem that God is only too willing and ready to separate the world into the saved and the damned. They yell loud and long about their own loyalty. And they insist that faithfulness is just about colouring in between the lines. They seem to relish at the thought that everyone who can't or who doesn't do that, well, they're just toast as they stand before God. All they will ever be is just a bunch of old bones. But God does something different. Ezekiel sees God act not with judgment, but with mercy. The bones, they rattle and jump, don't they? Little by little, tendons appear, then flesh, then skin. And God breathes upon this unholy and deeply defiled mess. And what emerges is a people that's filled with vitality and strength and power. You see, God's character is to bring life. And these people are not simply restored, they are renewed. God's life-giving breath, the Spirit, not only knits them together physically, it renews them spiritually. And they form the body of God's people. God brings new life to a scene that to us would seem so utterly futile and hopeless. Ezekiel's vision seems so unlikely and improbable until the day of Pentecost. Luke tells us how there was a mighty wind, a breath from heaven, and how the Holy Spirit settled upon the apostles, just like tongues of fire. If Jesus' ascension saw humanity taken into the very nature of God, now God reaches down to humanity by pouring out his divine presence upon us all. And so this question begins to emerge. What will be the character of God's people? How will these bones live? Peter lived in a world where God's presence was considered unsafe. If you got too close to God, you just might die. All the rituals of cleanliness were all designed to keep an unholy people at a safe distance from a holy God. Only the high priest could enter into God's presence, but only after completing extensive rituals and wearing the right clothing. Medieval Jews would tell stories of how high priests would wear ropes around their waist or their ankles, just in case it all went bad. But in this scene, as the Spirit comes from heaven upon the apostles, there is no sign of endangerment here, is there? God does not run away from a world filled with uncleanliness. No, the Spirit pours out, and the consequence that radiates from God's presence is not death. It's joy. The disciples are filled with such unadulterated pleasure and happiness, radiance and rapture, wonder and delight about God and what he has done for everyone, that everyone thinks that they are drunk. Joy. Joy, this is the feeling we get when we discover that we are alive more than ever before. Joy is when we discover when the odds that were so stacked against us are now in our favor. Joy is when we discover how grace opens up for us, not simply a new possibility, but things that are so far above and beyond our wildest expectations. That's joy. That's what has filled the disciples that morning. The church that's born at Pentecost is not meant to be God's frozen chosen. It's meant to be a people whose bones are brought to life by a God who is working out his purposes to renew the whole world. The people in Jerusalem, well, they are just mystified at this joy. They see this group of odds and ends speaking all the languages from around the world. And Peter fills them in. These bones begin to speak from the words of Joel. The Spirit has filled everyone. The gifts of God are given to everyone. Men and women alike receive the gifts of God on this Pentecost morning. Young people and old people alike, they receive God's gifts too. Even slaves, people who just didn't even measure up to people because they were too poor or too unlucky, they receive God's gifts too. It makes me think how shameful it is that churches for centuries have limited and confined God's gifts to men only, and men from the right class and the right ethnicity and the right background. When God gives his gifts to people so generously, how shameful it is when we think that rather than enabling people of all backgrounds and genders and futures to witness to God's wonder, we in the church have so often dampened that down. But yet we see here on this Pentecost morning, God's Spirit bringing new life to old bones, not in the form of wealth and power, but through dreams and visions. We tend to associate dreams and visions with wide-eyed prophets, those kinds of scary people who only talk about apocalyptic destruction, don't we? But I wonder if God brings things that we naturally lack. I know young people can look at the world and see only hurt and violence. And it's hard to comprehend what God can do in this situation, what God can do and accomplish with just these old bones. And those of us who are not as young as we once were can find ourselves feeling disillusioned, can't we? Having seen everything once before, these old bones find it hard to dream of a day when places that swelter through injustice can become oases of freedom and justice. That places which seem so deeply divided can become spaces where all of God's children can join hands and sing together with joy. So how do we step from being just a bunch of old bones and become a people that can witness to God's overwhelming grace? Well, that step is called discipleship. And we hear about that in Jesus' words to his disciples in John 15. When Jesus spoke of the advocate, the friend who comes to help you, he was talking about discipleship. Discipleship is how we go from being bare bones to being participants in God's plan to change the world. I know that discipleship has a bad name right now, and many Australians are right to be suspicious of religious witnesses, of people who only want to get their own way. We call them Bible bashers. We see them as domineering people who only want to push their views upon others. But Jesus' vision is completely different. Jesus' vision of discipleship, of being a witness, is someone who simply puts into practice what they have seen and heard from Jesus himself. For Jesus, a disciple is someone who has let the Spirit inside to transform them by grace from the inside out. And they become witnesses when they can't but help show grace to others. A disciple is someone who is transformed by love. And they become witnesses when they go out and desire to see the world transformed by love too. Being a disciple is about being open to change, to let the Holy Spirit into our lives to renew us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit brings new life to old bones through conviction, revitalization, glory, and comfort. The Spirit brings conviction to old bones when we start to see how we and our world is deeply invested in sin rather than holiness. Talking of sin today sounds old-fashioned and rather unneeded. Many Christians speak of sin simply as breaking God's rules, but I think we are better placed to see sin as missing the mark or just as getting our wires crossed. No one chooses sin because they think it's good. Rather, sin flourishes when we think that's the only way for us to achieve our happiness. We go along with things like racism and sexism, homophobia and exploitation in the hope that our life will be better if we can just withhold these benefits from others. And so hurtful and destructive patterns are allowed to flourish both within ourselves and in the world around us. God's Spirit brings revitalization to show us when we are out of alignment with God's purposes. And so tendons and flesh and skin begins to grow upon these old bones. The Spirit guides us into all truth by showing us how we can live oriented around God's justice, how we can grow in God's compassion and be made alive and humble in God's presence. These old bones can live. That's God's promise. Our challenge is, how do we hear that voice and open ourselves up to the living reality of God's presence within our lives? Are we open? Are we closed? Do we want to see God bring new life to these old bones, to see our world transformed and renewed? That's our prayer. That's the prayer of Pentecost. To see our lives change, to see our world change by God's presence, to know that new life and to let it fill us so that through us, God begins to change the world as we become that people who stand up from that field of dry bones to see a new world filled with visions and dreams of what God can do amongst us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that your Spirit will fill us, that we may have the dreams and the visions that you want to see flourish in our world today. Fill us with your Spirit that we might know you, that we might follow you, that we might turn, that we might be comforted and strengthened by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.